Well, it's very nice to be here again, and if you've got a Bible, and of course this is a ministry meeting, so I do hope that we do have a Bible. Our first reading, we have three readings this evening, but the first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I do have a PowerPoint, the little screen here, there's nothing on the screen here, so I can't actually see. Now I do have a PowerPoint with me this evening, but let me say that, you know, I think it's very important that we actually follow. What I've deliberately did is I've not put any of the verses that I'm going to read up on the screen for a very good reason. You know, I happen to believe that it's very important that if we want God to speak to us, that we actually follow what God says and we follow it in His Word, the Bible. Because, you know, when we put God's Word up on the screen, what we really have is just sound bites. But, you know, for to properly understand what God is teaching us, then you really have to follow and look at the verses. Because then what you see in its proper context, you see the verses before, and of course you see the verses afterwards. And then you can see basically what God is teaching. And tonight's subject and the reading that I'm going to read is a very good example of this. Now here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he writes to this particular church in Corinth. And he's telling them to look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus will come again. They'll be ushered into His presence. And then of course they will be changed, transformed. And then we will experience the judgment seat. But there's another few verses that I'm going to read later on as well, and it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3, and especially so in Romans chapter 14. And if we look at the context there in Romans 14, what we see is that here Paul is writing this church, and he's talking about the judgment seat, but you know, he's talking to them about a local issue. And some of them were judging one another, and some were talking about particular days, were special days, and particular foods. And you know, if we were to bring that up to date, perhaps we could say that perhaps it would be a bit like you and I today. Maybe someone would hang their washing out on a Sunday and we would judge them. Maybe someone would eat black pudding and we would judge them. And so as you look at the verses in their context, you can then see what the Bible is actually speaking about. And so for that reason, I decided not to put the verses on the screen. I think it's so important that we read for ourselves what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. So our first reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And Paul simply says this: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." So you see that? No exceptions. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And here's why: that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. And those two words, good or bad, actually in the original mean profitable or unprofitable. Our second reading, Romans chapter 14. And I'll give you time to scan the verses beforehand. And again, this is how we see what the Bible teaches. Romans chapter 14, reading it in its context, but we'll just read verse 7. Paul writes and he says, "For none of us liveth to himself." Verse 8. "For whether we live unto the Lord." Verse 10. And here Paul then addresses this particular problem in the church where they were judging one another over special days and food. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Note that again, no exceptions. Every knee and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, and this is a very important verse. "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Amen. I'm sure God will bless through the reading of his word. Keep your Bible open, for we'll be turning over a few verses to 1 Corinthians 3 later on. Now, you know, for all of us who are Christians here this evening, I'm sure we're all looking forward to that moment when the Lord Jesus will come again. Let me also say that if you're not, then that perhaps would suggest that there's maybe something wrong with your Christian life. If you're not looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus, then it would suggest that there's apprehension, because you know that there's a time of judgment coming. But you know, for those of us who are Christians, I'm sure we're all looking forward to that moment when the Lord Jesus will come again. You see, we've got this tremendous hope that we shall be forever with the Lord. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus, he closed the whole canon of Scripture with these words. He said, "Behold, I am coming soon." But then he went on to say this, "And my reward is with me, and I'll give to every man, woman, boy or girl, according to what they have done." And so we can see then that linked to the coming of the Lord Jesus is a time of judgment. You see, just as the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 12 and verse 15, is the time when God judges and is the final assessment of the unbeliever's life, so too the judgment seat of Christ is the final assessment, as it were, of the believer's life. Now, it might well be this morning that there might be, or this evening, it might well be that there may be someone here, because I don't know everybody. Maybe there's someone here this evening, and you don't know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. In other words, never a time when you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Maybe never a time when you recognise that you're a sinner. Never a time when you recognise that Christ died for your sin. Never a time when you invited the Lord Jesus into your life to cleanse you and to make you right with God. Well, you know, we preachers, we have to be faithful to the Word of God. And the Word of God clearly states that there's a day coming when God will judge each and every one of us for our sins. And just as at the great white throne judgment, where sinners stand in the presence of a holy God, they have to give an account for their sins, I'm sure you would agree with me, it surely must be one of the most awesome revelations given to us in the Word of God. You know, our thoughts on the person of God, I think today, have been so diluted that we only look upon God as a God of love. You know, sometimes we have in our minds, and that's the way sometimes the world, and indeed Christendom, would portray God. They see God as some kind of benevolent father who would be too kind, too loving to judge anyone for their sin. And so we look upon God as a God who would be too kind to punish anyone for wrongdoing, for sin. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that one day at the great white throne judgment, God will judge men and women for their sins. You know, it's not very fashionable today to speak of a God who punishes sin, but the Bible makes it very clear. One day God says that he will punish all those who either reject or neglect the Lord Jesus, who have not trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And God says that they will be banished from his presence at the great white throne judgment. Why? God says it's because their names haven't been written in the book and the books of life. And the Bible also goes on, see it in Revelation chapter 20, where God clearly says that your name is only written in the book of life when you trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And it's at that point that your name is written. You know, I remember reading a book about this, and you know, it says very clearly that God keeps a record. From the moment that you were born, and every person who ever lived, and there's 6.5 billion people in the world today, from the moment that you're born, God writes your name in books. But then God also takes a record, or God knows, it's evident, that we've all sinned, we've fallen short. But when we trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, our name is then written in the book of life, just one book. And God says that we will only get to heaven when we trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and our name is then written in that book. And you know, our name can only be written when we trust the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. You see, the Bible teaches that every single one of us, without exception, we will meet the Lord Jesus at one of two places. Either at the great white throne as judge, or at the great white, or at the judgment seat of Christ as Lord and Saviour. Now, we Christians, of course, when we meet the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no penalty to pay. Our eternal destiny will not be determined. You know, that was settled when we trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We have to make this clear that the judgment seat of Christ is an assessment of our lives. You see, the Apostle Paul, he speaks about this, and he says that when he became a Christian, and when we became Christians, he says we're beginning a race. It's the Christian race. And Paul talks, he says, you know, as we've been running the race set before us, which began when we trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, as we've been running this race which is set before us, the Lord has been observing us. He's been looking at us. He's been keeping a record. I wonder what the Lord has seen in our lives. I wonder, have we pleased Him? Or have we displeased Him? That really is our subject this evening. Have we obeyed His commands? Or have we disobeyed? In our lives, have we brought glory to God? Have we reached that stage in our lives where we can truly say, as the Apostle Paul did, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Notice again what Paul says in Romans chapter 14. Look again at verse 7. He says, none of us lives to himself. Verse 8, whether we live unto the Lord. I wonder if we can truly say that. Can we truly say that we've reached that stage in our life where we can truly say, as Paul did, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Can I suggest that it might well be that none of us here can truly say that? I'll hold my hand up and say I don't. Because you know this is a tall order. To be able to truly say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I think there are very few Christians can really claim that. But Paul says that's what we should be seeking to attain as we run the race which is set before us. In other words, have we reached that stage in our lives where we're really following the Lord's will and doing what he wants us to do? But let's look again at the verse that we did read. Romans chapter 14 verse 12. Look again at what Paul says. So then, every one of us will give an account. Note that word. An account of himself to God. Now, have you ever thought, what kind of account will we have to give? What kind of assessment will it be as we stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat? Well, verse 12 here gives us an indication. Look at it again. Every one of us will give an account. Now, what does that word account mean? Well, it means a reckoning up. You see, it's where we get our word accountant from. And I don't know if there's any accountants here. But, you know, what does an accountant do? Well, you know, an accountant reckons up the profits and the losses of the business. He looks at the assets. He looks at the liabilities. The accountant looks at what's profitable and he looks at what's loss-making in the business. And he or she determines by their reckoning up how the business is doing. And you know, that's the idea that the Apostle Paul is using here. He's saying every single one of us, one day that day is coming at the judgment seat when we will have to give a reckoning up of our lives to God. And at that judgment seat, the Lord Jesus will determine whether we have made a profit or a loss. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come back this evening, and that's very much possible. If he was to come back this evening, what kind of reckoning up would you and I be able to get? What would there be in our lives that would be reckoned as profitable for the Lord Jesus? What would there be in our lives that would be reckoned as a liability? What would there be in our lives that would be reckoned as an asset? What would be loss-making? What would be profitable? You know, one day, perhaps sooner than we think, one day we will all have to stand before the Lord Jesus. We'll stand before him at that judgment seat. And as we look at the Lord Jesus, and we see his face, and we see his power, and his glory, and his splendor, because the judgment seat will take place in heaven. And the judgment seat will take place when the Lord Jesus sits on his throne in majestic glory. But you know, I think, and I often think about this, that as we look at the Lord Jesus, not only will we see his face, but you know, we'll also see the marks of Calvary. And I'm sure as we look at the Lord Jesus, we'll not only see the marks of Calvary, but you know, as we stand before him, almost certainly the first question we'll ask ourselves is just why we didn't serve the Lord Jesus more. I've often thought about that, never mind waiting until the judgment seat. You know, I'm sure, as we even now tonight, as we look back in our lives, maybe we're even asking ourselves, maybe we've been a Christian 5 years or 50 years, and we're maybe looking back and saying, you know, why didn't I serve the Lord Jesus more? Now here's a question, what kind of judgment, what kind of assessment will it be? Well, you know, in the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and again, if you've got your Bible, turn with me please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll look at a few verses there, beginning at verse 10. Now again, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and they've got particular problems, and he's telling them how to deal with these problems, and judgment is very much on his mind because they've got problems and they're judging one another and they're falling out with one another. And so Paul here says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at what he says in verse 10, and he says this: according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. So here's Paul, he's telling them to beware. And he's saying, take heed how you build. For no other foundation can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he makes that clear, that our lives and our work within the church is built upon the Lord Jesus. Now notice what he says in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, that's the Lord Jesus, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. What shall be judged? Well, you know, here's the Apostle Paul. Notice again what he says. Our work will be manifest, and it will be declared. In the Greek it means it will be revealed. Paul says here it will be tried. If you're reading from the New International Version, it simply says that our work will be shown for what it is. And you know, as you put all those words together, it becomes very clear to us that at the judgment seat, our work for the Lord and our life will be judged. It will be revealed. And as we give an account of our life and our work for the Lord, basically, everything will be stripped bare. We won't be able to act a part any longer. Everything we've done, everything that we've said, every single thought will be laid bare before the Lord. You know, right throughout the Gospels, the Lord Jesus, he continually condemned the scribes and the Pharisees for the hypocrisy. Time and time again, we see the Lord Jesus condemning these Pharisees. And he called them hypocrites. And you see the Lord Jesus, he despised their way of life. And by calling them hypocrites, in effect the Lord Jesus, he was calling them play actors. In other words, he's saying they were acting a part that wasn't real. And you know, you and I, in the light of the impending judgment seat, we have to ask ourselves this question. Here it comes. Ask ourselves this question this evening. In our Christian life, are we acting a part that isn't real? Are we trying to portray ourselves as someone that we are not? You know, it's all too easy to come along to the meeting on a Sunday and during the meet. And you come along to the meeting and, you know, as we get to the building, we kind of put on this air of respectability. this air of Christianity, this air of religion. And you know, you put it on just in the same way that you put your coat on. You know, you're going to the meeting, and so you put on your coat. And you know, the Lord here, you know, it's possible to come along to the meeting and just in the same way to put on this air of respectability. But you know, it's just as easy, I'm sure you'd agree with me, to go back home and then just to take it all back off again. You see, it's easy to kid on the other people in the meeting, but we can't fool God in the same way. Let me just correct that. You know, we can maybe fool some of the people in the meeting, but you know, I find that the more in tune you are with the Lord, and the more you're in tune with what the Lord says in His Word, you know, you get what God calls spiritual discernment. And you know, I find that, you know, you can kid on some of the people, but you can't kid on all of the people. You can see it. And we can't kid on God. And at the judgment seat, everything about us will be manifest, will be revealed, it will be tried, it will be tested. We shall be shown for what we're really like. Now, you know, I'm sure most of us have got modern furniture in the house. And sometimes, and you know, some of it can be nice and modern mahogany. Now at home I've got a fireplace and a little unit beside it, and it all looks nice mahogany, but you know, it's just a mahogany veneer. And I discovered one time, and I was hoovering, and I just hit a corner, and I knocked off a little bit of the veneer. And underneath the veneer, we see that what we have, it's just kind of, it's just sawdust. Sawdust and glue all compacted together to make a kind of chipboard. And so we can see then that that nice mahogany veneer covers over the sawdust and the glue that's underneath. And what we have to ask ourselves this evening is this. Is my life just like that? Is there a kind of veneer that I put on, but deep down, there's really nothing of any real value in a spiritual sense? I wonder if maybe our wives or our husbands or our partners or a brother or a sister or a mother or a father was to come along to the meeting, stand up here and tell everybody what we're really like, you know, what we're like at home, would we be surprised? We might even get a shock. Well, you know, the Bible says that one day at the judgment seat, this veneer will be stripped away, and then we'll be shown for what we're really like. Is there a veneer that we've put on to go to the meeting? It will be stripped away. But you know, one of the questions that we might be asking ourselves is this. What aspects of our lives will be judged, will be assessed? Well, notice again what Paul says in Romans 14 verse 12. He says, everyone will have to give an account. An account of what? Well, you know, again, reading the letters that Apostle Paul wrote to the various churches, it's very obvious that as far as Paul was concerned, every believer, every Christian, and if you're a member of the assembly here, Bethany, every single one of us has a responsibility to build into the local church. You see, the local church or the assembly is viewed as a building, Paul said, whose foundation is the Lord Jesus. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this. No matter our age, no matter our abilities, no matter our capabilities, if we're a member of the church here, ask yourself this question. What am I building in to the local church? What am I doing for the Lord in this church? Am I building something for the glory of God into this church here in Paisley? If not, how can we ever have anything of profit to offer to the Lord at the judgment seat? You see, when the reckoning up and the final assessment takes place, we have to ask ourselves, will we be in profit or will we be in loss? God makes it very clear in His Word that every single one of us is essential in the work. Now, when back in Nehemiah's day in chapter 3, we see that every single person was involved in the work. We read about particular men, even with their daughters, building in, building the walls. And we read that many of them did another piece. And you know, there is much within the church that comes under this category of another piece. You see, working in the church is not just preaching, it's not just teaching, it's all kinds of things. There's mountains of pastoral work, there's visiting the sick, there's encouraging the visitors, there's just showing the love of God to each and every one that comes in. There's the caring, there's the cleaning of the fabric of the building. There's just taking time to show an interest in each other. Now, there's all kinds of things, you see, that we can do in our work for the Lord. And the Lord makes it very clear as he writes to all of those churches in the New Testament that there are no exceptions. Every single one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to the fittest to the less able, every single one of us, we all have a responsibility to build in to the local church. But then, of course, this raises another question. Just what are we building in? Well, you know, again, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at what Paul talks about. He talks about two types of materials. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, note the two types of materials. There's gold, silver, and costly stones. And then there's another type, wood, hay, and stubble. Now notice first of all that gold and silver and costly stone, you know, these are things that are of value. These are things that do not decay. If you dig a hole in the ground and put them in the ground, you go back a few thousand years later, they'll still be there. These things do not decay. These are things that have got real value. But then Paul says there's another group of materials, wood, hay, stubble. I'm sure you would agree with me, these things have got no great real value. Wood might last 100 years or more, but you know, eventually it will perish. Hay and stubble will not last any length of time. And so we can see, Paul, but not only that, these are things that not only last and don't last, but Paul also says, because our work will be tried and tested, Paul also divides these two types of materials by things that can be burned up and things that cannot be burned up. You see, gold, silver, and costly stones, they can't be burned up. They can withstand the fire. But wood, hay, and stubble will not last any length of time. And you see, what we have to ask ourselves is this. What am I building into the local church? Will it last? Or will it be burned up at the judgment seat? What am I doing? Whether it be in the church here or elsewhere, because many, I'm sure, are involved in other activities and even just living the Christian life, showing the fruits of the Spirit and witnessing and showing love and peace and contentment and goodness and the love of God being shared abroad in your hearts. You see, whatever we are doing as we seek to live out the Christian life, whatever our sphere of services, the question we have to ask ourselves is this. In my Christian life, especially so in the work that I'm doing, am I doing it for the glory of the Lord that will last? Or am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it to bring glory to God or to bring glory to myself for my own praise? You see, now, just to use myself as an example, if I was to come along here to Bethany Hall this evening and think, well, you know, I'd like to go to Bethany Hall, I like to get the platform, I like to be seen, I like to be heard, and I want people to say, well, we enjoyed your message, and word to get round that Robert McNair's a good speaker. If that was my intention, and if that's my motive for coming to Paisley, then I might as well stay at home. I've wasted my time. Because then I'll discover when I get to the judgment seat, it will all be burned up. But you know, if I come along with the intention of preaching and teaching the word, all for the glory of God, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified, and to please him, regardless of what you think, then that will have value. And at the judgment seat, I'll receive a reward. So each and every one of us, we should all be asking ourselves this question. Am I building the work that I'm doing? Am I doing it for the glory of the Lord? Or am I doing it for myself? To build myself up. If I'm building for God's praise, it will last. it will stand the test. I'll have something of profit. If I'm doing it for myself, then come the day of judgment, everything will be burned up. I'll suffer loss. I'll be saved, but saved as by fire. And as we give an account of ourselves and as we give account of our work, we will discover if we've been doing it for ourselves that we've really wasted our time when everything is burned up. We'll suffer loss. What's the quality of our work we should be asking ourselves? Because if it's not done for the Lord, we'll suffer loss. But going back again to verse 12 of Romans 14, notice what Paul says. Everyone shall give an account of himself. You see, we'll have to account for our lives. We'll have to account for our individual life. And again, this presents to us another question. Ask yourself this question. What have you done today to bring glory to the Lord? What have you done today that would be pleasing to the Lord? Now, I guess most of you were perhaps here this morning. And so just examine yourself. What have you done this afternoon? Maybe watching the television, reading God's Word, being involved in a work for the Lord. But let's spread it a bit more and say, what have we done in the last week? What have we done in the last month? What have we done in the last year? Think back. What have we done to bring glory to the Lord? What have we done as far as God is concerned is worthless, of no value? You know, just in closing, each and every one of us, we should all remind ourselves that we've got only one life. And I guess for many of us, most of it has passed. But you know, it's only those things in our lives that are done for the glory of God that will last. The Lord Jesus, before he left this earth, he promised, he says, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. And when we meet him, Paul says here, we'll have to give an account. We'll account for our lives. We'll account for the things we've done. We'll account for our thoughts. We'll account for the things we've said. Our account will be accurate, and our account will be very, very revealing. I think we should all live each day in the light that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for thy word. Father, thy word is so important to us. It reveals, Father, thy will to us. And we, Father, we thank thee for all that it speaks to us about thyself. The entrance of thy word bringeth light into our hearts and our minds and our souls. And so, Father, we have a very simple desire that as we leave this place, Father, we really do ask a blessing. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word to us, that we won't go away and forget what has been said. And we just pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit might take thy word and impress it upon each of our hearts, and that we might leave this place, Lord, with a greater desire to live the Christian life, and that in doing so, Lord, that we might seek to serve thee and to bring honour and glory to thy precious name. Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that he loved us, and in doing so gave himself for us. And our Father, our desire this evening too is that if there be any here who have not trusted the Lord Jesus as Lord and Saviour, that they might avoid that great white throne judgment, and that they might look forward to that day when they will stand before the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat to give an account. Father, we thank thee for the blessed hope that we Christians have, that one day we shall be forever with the Lord. But Lord, until then, we seek a blessing. Help us, Lord, give us the power to live a life pleasing unto thee. We ask now that thou part us with thy blessing. We give thanks and ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.